following message is from New Life Gillette series At the Movies. This week, Pastor Paul presents part four of this series.
You know, I love At the Movies. It makes me, part of why I love movies so much, it makes me think of my dad a little bit. My dad passed away a little while ago and he's in heaven. But before he left, my dad introduced me to the greatest actor that we've ever had ever. And therefore, I've gotten to just see some of the greatest movies ever because of this actor. Now, my wife won't agree with me on this, that he's the greatest actor, but do I have any John Wayne fans in the crowd here today? Oh, yeah. See? I know. There's so, unfortunately, we're not watching a John Wayne movie today, and I know it's hard. But there's a certain movie of John Wayne's that, called The Undefeated that I remembered when I watched our movie for today. I thought of this one. It's in the very beginning of that movie. It's around the Civil War time, and John Wayne's character, a colonel in the Union Army, he's leading his troops into a battle. And during this battle, there's several soldiers that lose their life in the midst of the battle. And right at the end of that battle scene, all of a sudden, here comes a messenger on horse riding up to John Wayne's character and shares the understanding that the war was over, that Lee had surrendered. And John Wayne, well, when did this happen? 3 days ago. And it took that long for the message to get from Appomattox Courthouse all the way to that battlefield. Those soldiers did not have to die that battle. Isn't it amazing how our world has changed in this last 150 years? I mean, think about that. If something happened today here in Gillette, people on the other side of the world could know it in an instant. You know, think of how instant our lives are these days. We have instant banking. We have instant food. We have instant coffee with our Keurigs. We have instant all kinds of things. Well, today we're looking at one of those instants. We're looking at the Instant Family movie. Instant Family is a great movie as we find ourselves in a moment where a husband and wife find the desire, wells up in their heart that they want to love on someone else. And who do they want to love on but children? So Jesus is already liking this movie. And who do they want to love on? But this is a story, a true story actually about foster care and adoption. What a great storyline that we find ourselves in today as we learn this gift of loving on others and seeing what that can do for us. But let's face it, loving in a situation like this is never easy. So let's check out how this movie starts off.
You bought this?
Yeah.
And it's ours now. We own this.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
Right? What'd I tell you? The fireplace, the built-ins here.
Are you sure you want to give this to your sister? Babe, we make 100K off this flip all day long.
Right. This is it?
Hey, yeah, come in.
You guys made me ask off an hour early to see this dump?
We're all smelling this right now, right?
Okay, not a good fit, so we'll just go.
Okay, come on, have a little vision. French doors to the garden. We move the stairs, take these walls down, create an open concept through the kitchen. There's a gorgeous stained glass here in the corner. The bones are really good.
When's the part we cough up 12 grand to fix the rotted out foundation?
If this place is so great, why don't you guys move in here?
What are they gonna do with 5 bedrooms in a park? They're obviously never having kids. Look at them, don't have any emotional holes to fill. Not that we are doing it to...
Shut up, Russ.
All right.
What was that look? But look, he just said you guys were never going to have kids, and then you did a definite look.
Yeah, there was a look. What was the look for? Because you looked back at me to try to include me in your look.
I didn't do a look. Totally did a look.
It wasn't a look.
I think we just started some trouble.
No, there's no trouble.
Maybe even a fight.
There's no fight. There's no trouble. I didn't do a look.
You're doing a look right now.
There's no look. You're doing a look. Maybe I did do a look, but just hearing him say it out loud, we're never having children. I mean, is that true?
I quit bringing it up because every time I ever did, you say it's not the right time.
I know, but we were always so broke, and then we were going crazy trying to get the business started. We flipped 5 houses this year, and I'm starting to turn down design work. I always thought that I'd be a mom someday.
I think I'm ready.
Great, now you're ready, and by the time the kid's 16, I'm gonna be one of those old dads like Brian Hendrickson's dad.
You're not that old.
Here's an idea. What if we adopt a 5-year-old? Be like I got cracking when I was 36. How about that? Hey, what's the matter?
Nothing. I was just thinking about what you said about adopting a 5-year-old.
I said that?
Yeah.
I was joking.
I know. It's kind of crazy, but it just got me thinking. And there's so many kids in foster care, and they're moving from place to place, and they don't have anybody. And it's like the saddest thing I've ever seen. And I found this adoption agency, and they're having an orientation next week.
Oh, no. Don't show me that. I don't want to see those little faces. You're trying to break my heart. I just got home from work. Ellie, people who take in foster kids are really special. These are the kind of people who volunteer when it's not even a holiday. All right, we don't even volunteer on a holiday.
What?
You can't take some offhanded remark I made and turn it into a crazy life decision. It was a joke.
Yeah. I know. I just... You're right. You shouldn't be pushed into something that you don't want to do. That's just a nice thought. Good night.
I don't want to make any more jokes like that. All right? Hey, you can't buy these pita chips anymore. They're way too spicy. I'm getting my nose watering.
Over 500,000 children are currently in foster care. The system is overloaded, okay? It doesn't need any more kids. So for a child to be removed, conditions have to be pretty bleak, usually involving abuse or extreme neglect.
Some of these kids can often languish in the system unless a wonderful family like yours steps up for them.
My name's Ellie. Hi. It's my husband, Pete.
I'm not too sure about any of this. I mean, I get it. You know, we adopted our dog, Meatball, and we love him like crazy, but...
Don't compare kids to dogs.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that there used to be a stigma about getting a dog from the pound, but now they call them rescue dogs, and it's like everybody in the world wants one.
Don't say pound, don't say dog. Just don't.
Okay,
don't.
No, that's not... It's just all of this is a little bit scary, right? But maybe if you call them rescue kids instead of foster kids, more people would be into it, and then people would be walking out on you in the middle of your seminar, and it'd be good for your program.
Pete, just stop. Oh, everyone, our guest speaker of the day, Brenda Fernandez, and her parents. Let's make them feel welcome.
Hi, thank you. Hi. So... When I was 8 years old, my mom and her boyfriend decided it would be a good idea to build a meth lab in our garage. They made me deliver drugs for them. They abused me physically, and some of their customers abused me sexually. When I was 11, our garage exploded, and I was put in the system. Bounced around from placement to placement. Pretty soon I was 14. Nobody wants a teenager, so I'd be aging out in a few years. Thing is, over half the kids who age out of foster care end up homeless, addicted, incarcerated, or dead within 2 years. That was gonna be me, trying to start my adult life, but with no family to help me pick college, nobody to come home to on the holidays, or cry to when my first boyfriend dumped me for Missy Howard. But then those two very special people came along, and I didn't make it easy on them. But no matter how hard I pushed them away, they were always there with a sack lunch and a ride. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Brenda, great job, amazing. All right, kid, bye. Dirk, you see the glasses, buddy? Hi, guys. Hey.
So now you think we're special enough?
Maybe we are. I mean, look, this is what we do. We see potential in things, we fix them up, right? Like they did. And they find this kid in a state of disrepair. They give her a new coat of paint, scrape off her emotional popcorn ceiling, install some countertops in the form of, like, love or self-esteem, whatever. And look, I'm not saying she's a house like the way I said the dog thing in there, but I think we're perfect for this.
But she's not a house, Pete.
I just said she's not a house. Are you listening to me?
Okay, no, I am.
I'm so excited. Are you excited?
I just get worried that you think things are going to be easier than they actually are.
What? I do not.
You do.
No, this whole thing was your idea. I'm pumped about it, and you're not even pumped?
No, I am pumped.
Well, you don't look pumped. I mean, a big life-altering moment like this, you got to get pumped. We're about to do something insane. Did you hear her speak?
Yes.
It was the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I know.
Come on, cowgirl. Let me get a yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
No, boo. Give me one. Yeehaw! Louder, crazier. Come on. You're about to be
yeehaw. Foster care and possibly adoption. That's big stuff. And I know that some of you at New Life understand this firsthand. That's a huge change of life for this family, isn't it? Well, truthfully, no matter how we add to a family, it's a change. And change is difficult. Going from being single to married is hard. There are blessings, but to all of a sudden not just be about me, but now to have a wife, to be sacrificial for her, that's not easy. And then to add children into the mix adds an entirely new dimension to a family that is crazy difficult. For the family in this movie, to bring a child or possibly children instantly into their family, and on top of it, let's face it, broken, hurting children. Children broken because of the life that they were dealt previously to this moment. Children who face some tough moments, maybe neglect, abuse of some kind, trauma. Who knows? And now, instantly, here is a new family that does things differently, who have different values, and all of a sudden, instant family. Wow. It's not easy. And I know this from seeing it firsthand many times. People on both sides of Karen's and my side of the family have shared in both adoption and foster care. Several families and congregations that we have served have done some foster care and adopting. I've seen the joys and the struggles in the midst of this journey. And I truly will say, to be a foster care family or to be a family that adopts and cares for a child or children, my heart is blessed when I see it. For it is the gospel. What do I mean by that? Well, the gospel or the good news, in a nutshell, is that God or Jesus loves you so much that he gave up his life, sacrificed his life, so that we could have life with him. Jesus sacrificed so that he could adopt us into his family. This movie is the gospel because it's a family giving up themselves for the sake of a child, laying down their lives to love a child. That is the gospel, or the good news of Jesus. It is the good news because it is comparable to what we receive when we say yes to Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. When we place our faith in Jesus, we then are adopted into the family of God. We are adopted, and then God gives us his Spirit to live inside of us, to bless us, and to help us to do life. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 8 when he says this, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory." So we are an instant family. Each one of us who says yes to Jesus is instantly adopted into the blessed eternal family. The fact that we now have the right to call God Abba Father is so cool. Abba isn't a word that we commonly use, but it's like when one of my kids climbs up on my lap and hugs me and says, "Daddy, I love you." It's a level of closeness or intimacy that Paul is sharing. God is not a far removed God. He is desiring to be close to us like a loving, caring daddy. I love that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. We are a family when we walk with Jesus. But that doesn't mean it's easy. Everyone in our home families and everyone in our church family is vastly different. We have different personalities, different gifts, different abilities, different ages, different ideals. Some of us are boys and some of us are girls. So sometimes it's hard to be together because of those differences. And on top of all those differences, we need to acknowledge that we are all broken emotionally, damaged. Some of us are traumatized from moments in life. Some of us are dealing with addictions. Some of us are abused and neglected. And yes, on top of all of that, we're all sinners. But here we are in families at home and in a big church family. Because of how different and broken and messed up we each are, how in the world do we do family life under those circumstances, both within our homes and within our church? Sounds a little crazy, doesn't it? Well, let's see a little of how this new instant family in the movie works out with all of the newness to their family and how they deal with each of them being a little or maybe a lot broken.
A Christmas tree? Does that mean Santa comes here?
Yeah, every year.
Yay!
So you guys are rich.
What? Rich? No, not rich. Doing okay.
Well,
I mean, we got this house. It was a dump. That's what we do. We renovate houses. Ellie did all the design work in here.
It's actually, everything is from swap meets and flea markets, and it's not that expensive at all. It's...
Oh, that's Crystal. Sorry.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have left this out.
So you guys want to see your rooms? Come on. Let's go check out your room.
Look at a bed and a bunny!
What do you think?
I love the bunny because she has a skirt.
Whose toys are these?
They're yours to share.
Yeah.
Lego!
Can I put my bears in there?
Sure.
Of course.
Wow, you sure have a lot of teddy bears.
These are just court bears. They get one every time we go to family court.
Can you help me?
Yeah.
Look at this, Lita. Hey, Lizzie, do you want me to show you your room?
Okay,
she's here.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry you have to carry all your stuff in these awful bags if
no,
we knew.
No. It's cool. Like, fun fact, that's actually how you can spot a foster kid. The kid carrying her whole life in a hefty bag. Foster joke.
Well, make yourself at home.
Yeah, this is your place. I'm gonna register Juan and Lita at Harding in the morning, and then you can take Lizzie to the high school. And did you see their shoes? Because we might want to take them to the mall tomorrow.
Hey, kids, dinner!
What? That sounds insane coming out of your mouth. Do we have kids?
Yeah, three of them.
That's insane! I can't believe it!
Did you not know that? Because they're really here. What?
Kiss again!
God.
Ew!
Yeah. What about
kiss
that
again,
one?
Kiss again!
Whoa. Oh, it's gonna be long and weird. Ew! How about that?
How about that?
All right, come on, Giggly.
I'm gonna show you the plate.
Okay, great. We have everything. We have burgers and pasta and
fish.
Let's get ready for the tub. You too? Come on.
It walks and talks.
This could be my helmet.
What about the presents, guys?
That would have been crazy if I got a robot. I'm playing with that robot.
And this could be the spaceship.
Can I go inside?
Sure.
Hey, guys. Wow, you really like cardboard boxes, huh? I mean, is anybody interested in playing with a giant dollhouse that took me 3 hours to assemble?
Did it come in a big box?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. It came in a big $200 box.
Let's go, let's go.
Come on.
Let's go get the box.
Christmas in boxes.
Yes. We want to thank the Lord for our first Christmas together, and we want to give thanks for this lovely meal and also this
bounty of super fun cardboard boxes. Amen.
Amen. Okay, tuck in, everybody.
Where's my potato chips?
Oh, we're not having chips tonight, Munchkin. Sorry.
I want my chips.
Lita, Lizzie, Pete and I worked really hard on this dinner, and there's lots of yummy food for you to eat.
No!
Hey.
Lena, vete a tu cuarto. Oye, ¿por qué me estás de ahora?
Lizzie, yeah. Please, Lizzie, yeah. No, okay? I've got this.
Why are you yelling at me? I'm just trying to help you.
I'm not yelling. I am. Just then I was, but it's, look. Lita, don't do what Lizzie just said. What did you say? Cuatro, go to your bedroom.
No, cuatro means quart, like quart of milk, right? She said, okay. You're not going to have potato chips, but you will drink that milk.
In any case, we have this. It's fine.
Okay. Fine.
Okay, let's try some of this meatloaf, okay?
No!
Hey,
I want my chips!
Not having chips!
Yeah, I don't think she's getting on board with the plan, honey.
I don't want this!
Hey.
You sure you don't want to just give her some chips?
No, we're not giving her chips. We're just gonna eat.
Lita, stay right there.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. Don't cry. Relax.
Wait,
watch your feet, okay?
Hey, you give those to me. Give me.
Calm down. Don't cry. I'll get it. Just stay there, Mom.
These are really, really good potatoes.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Are you okay?
God. What?
Stop. What are you doing?
Work. I'm trying to put it out.
With ketchup?
Okay.
Sorry. Lita?
Wait, what's that noise? Why is she growling? That wasn't in the classes. I got nothing for that. She's got a knife.
It's just a SpongeBob knife.
It's still a knife.
Just put the knife down, honey.
Look, kid, just put down the weapon, okay?
You guys want me to deal with this, or do you still got it?
Yeah, do you want to let her jump in here now, please?
Okay, fine.
Lita, ve a bañarte, y de ahí vas a tu cuarto.
Gracias. No, you gotta learn some Spanish.
Why would you give a kid milk in a glass cup?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Why did she do that? I hate her.
That didn't take long. I hate us already.
Well, technically, she said she hates you.
Okay. Even a real Barbie. You've got a real Barbie at home that Santa gave you a few weeks ago.
Santa got me a fat Barbie. I want a skinny Barbie.
She's not fat. She's body positive.
Lita, hey, if you put the doll back, I'll get you a giant ice cream sundae.
So you're rewarding this behavior? What are you thinking?
You handle it. Juan, come on, get out of there, please.
Don't hit me.
What? I didn't hit him, okay? I never have hit him. I would never hit a kid.
Right now, you're not getting lunch or dinner. We're not starving people here, okay? I have this under control. I am so...
Now, Lizzie, you body positive whore.
Okay, you're done. Give me that. Give it to me. Okay, just take it. Give me that now.
Yeah,
really looks like you've got it.
Get it.
No, we're not. No, we're not doing this.
Someone videotaping this?
Pete, where are you? Where's Pete?
You're done.
Oh, great. You're out there? Thank you so much.
Hey, sweetie, I brought the car up, saved you a little walking time.
We had a front space.
Well, it's still closer.
Hey, Pete, look at my pretty new doll.
Wow. Oh, you caved, huh?
No, I did not cave. I bought it for her. It was only $4. Can we just get out of here, you coward?
Yikes. Life is hard. Change is hard. Taking broken, sinful parents and really broken, sinful children and throwing them together, that's hard. Relationships are hard as it is, but this takes it to another level. And many of us can relate to many of the emotions that this family is going through. For many of us have lived different parts of it, haven't we? And yes, like I said before, just being part of God's family is comparable to this instant family. How in the world can we live like this? How can we get through the differences, the brokenness of each of us? How can we live a blessed life instead of a cursed life in the midst of our messed up home families and our church family? The Apostle Paul had a good answer for us. He was speaking to a broken, messed up congregation in the city of Corinth, a church who had lots of differences and lots of brokenness all around. And to that group of different, broken, messed up people who were trying to do life together, Paul wrote a simple but hard antidote. What is it? We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm sure a few of you have heard it, probably at a wedding. But it's not just a wedding passage. It's for any family, including God's family, and especially an instant family, like in our movie. It goes like this. If I can speak all the languages of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I could understand all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I had to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrong. It does not rejoice in injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Basically, Paul points the people from the Corinthian congregation, New Life, and every home family, no matter what your family looks like, to the cross. That cross where Jesus loved us, where he looked at each and every one of us and said, I give up everything for you. Paul says, love like that. And he gives us some practical ways for that love to play out in our families with that list that I just read. Can you imagine for a moment what your home life would look like if this passage of scripture became foundation for everything that happened, every conversation, every activity, every bedtime, every time you needed to go somewhere, every time we disagreed? What if? Can you picture it? And what if this passage played out in our congregation with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ? What if we all loved like Paul shares here? Well, what happens in our instant family as they begin to let love play into their lives, especially when things were going rough? Remember what Paul said? Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Let's see if a little of that kind of love plays out here.
What's wrong?
I have no idea. I just woke up this morning and I'm...
Oh, you know what? I think I can help. I have this really great detangler. You want me to...
Sure, yeah. Yeah, whatever, yeah.
Okay, here. Let's see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, how'd this happen?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just let me know if it pulls, okay?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, thank you.
Let me just smooth it out for you.
Hey, hon.
Hey.
Hi. How's she doing?
She's good. Oh, and check this out. I got here early and Lizzie saw me and she came over and just starts talking.
To you?
Yeah. Not like
full-on girl talk, but not the usual silent treatment either. She was telling me about that kid Jacob and how he doesn't say much, so she can't tell if he likes her. And next thing I know, I'm in full mom mode giving her advice. Like, well, you know, sometimes with the quiet times, maybe you'll have to make the first move. And she's like, well,
you
what
said make
I do?
A move? Like, you told her to make a move on a boy?
This kid is harmless, baby. Trust me. I'm thrilled she even likes him. I totally pegged her for the bad boys.
What happened?
Mom broke the potato chip.
Calm down. I'm going to fix her, okay?
Here you go. See? Thanks, Daddy.
Did you hear that? I just got my first daddy.
You suck! No fair! I want some of that. Hey, honey. Lita, can I help you with anything?
Nope.
No what? Are you talking to me? Who am I?
Ellie.
Juan. Ellie. Buddy, come here.
Really? What's my other
name? Come here, son. How's your foot? You okay?
Yeah,
are you okay
fine.
If I call you, son?
Sure. Where's Lizzie?
She's right there. You see her?
Oh, yeah, she's right there.
What I feel. You want to rotate like this, okay?
Please just go away. You're not my parent.
No, we're not. But you know what we are? We're here.
That's right. We're here. And we love you.
What? No, you don't. You don't even know me.
Lizzie, honey, we do know you. We know that you hate cheese, but you really love cheeseburgers. And we know that when you feel good in the morning, you put on a little less makeup than you do on the bad days.
Exactly. Yeah. And look, we know that the most important thing in the world to you is to protect Juan and Lita from the things nobody protected you
yes.
from. We know that about you, right?
There's so much that we don't know, but if you're afraid that we can't handle knowing the bad stuff or the scary stuff, that we can, I promise.
Yeah, bring it. I mean, whatever you got, we want it because we love you, Lizzie.
Stop saying that. Please just go away.
Please. Is Lizzie okay?
She's a little upset right now, buddy.
Okay. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
Here she is.
So, I know Juan and Lita are more like what you had in mind when you got into this. So I think the best thing is for you to adopt them. And I'll just ask Karen for a different placement. So,
no.
No, it'll be good. It'll
no,
be good.
Honey.
We need your help with Juan and Lita. We're not doing this without you.
I'll visit all the time, and you can call me if you need help or anything.
No.
Pete, I really don't want to argue about this right now.
Yeah, I don't care. I said no. That's not happening, okay? You're with us now.
Yeah.
And you know why? We've got a cosmic connection.
That's right. We've got a cosmic connection.
I know you feel really sorry for me right now, but you really don't
It's got nothing to do with what just happened. Where's the court statement Ellie gave you?
See this? Read that.
Lizzie once asked me why we did this, why we took them in. We couldn't give her answer at the time. We did it because something was missing in our lives. We didn't know what it was. It was Juan, Lita, and Lizzie.
You see? You were what was missing, Lizzie. But now you're here and you are stuck with us.
That's right.
All right, we're gonna be at every soccer game. We're gonna buy your first prom dress.
Yeah, and it's gonna be really, really pretty, but not too revealing, super sweet, you know, not too sexy, just like really that gorgeous sweet spot.
Yeah, right, and when you graduate high school, we're gonna be in the front row embarrassing you.
Yes.
And then we're gonna be in the front row again when you graduate college too, or even if you don't.
But you will be graduating college because it's so important and you're so smart, and I don't mean to push, but it just opens up so many more opportunities. But either way, we're gonna be there for you.
Yeah, and someday, I'm gonna give you away at your wedding. Right, even if I think the guy's a pissant and he's not good enough for my little girl.
That's right. Someday in the future. Someday in the way, way, way off, deep, 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 distant future.
Lizzie, can we go home now?
Yeah, I guess we can.
I know you don't like this, but you're gonna have to get used to it once in a while, okay?
Can I get one of those? Because I haven't gotten a single hug from you since I've known you. Please.
But we see how love can transform. We see how love can change lives when people take that love that they experienced from Jesus and pass it on. And truthfully, the first lives that change are usually our own, as we recognize and get to understand what Jesus did for us. So undeserved. While I was still rebelling and walking away from Jesus, he comes after me and dies on the cross for me, takes my place. And the more I understand and receive that love and allow that love to pour into my life, it changes me and allows me to begin to love on others. And when that love, when I take some of that love that Paul talked about, whether it's patience or getting rid of the rudeness or forgiveness or humility or whatever that might be, as I pour that into other people's lives, lives change when love happens. Love, because of Jesus, makes our lives better and makes us better at life. You know, so I have a challenge for you guys. To figure out, you know, in 1 Corinthians 13, go home this week, get out your Bible, read that passage again. And as you read through that Bible, allow Jesus to figure out which one of those parts in there is your part, the part that you possibly need to work on a little bit. Is it patience? Then cry out to Jesus and say, help me with my patience. And then put yourself in places where you can work on your patience. Maybe it's out in traffic and getting behind a slow person. Maybe it's at Walmart, getting behind the slow people in line trying to check out. Maybe it's back in Kid Zone, taking care of a bunch of two-year-olds. Find that place where you need to find patience and cry out to God and say, God, help me to learn how to love better. And that's a prayer that God wants to answer. Maybe it's forgiveness. And maybe you've been hurt and broken in the midst of your journey and you need to learn how that gift of forgiveness can share love with another. So open up your Bible, find all those different places where God shared forgiveness with those who hurt him. See how God did it and learn how you can then pass on forgiveness to others. Maybe it's your rudeness. Maybe you're just downright rude to people and you have to learn, how do I change how I talk to people so that I can let them know that I love them instead of that I'm always hurting them? So you find a book or something that can help you to learn how to change how you speak to people or at people so that you can begin to share love with them. What is yours? Figure it out, find it out, cry out to God and say, God, I want to love better, and God will help you to love others. And as you learn to love others, I guarantee that God will help transform your life and the lives around you. Because here's what it is. You know, Paul, at the end of that passage, at the end of chapter 13, he says this. He says, three things will last forever. Three things, and they are powerfully big, important things. What are those three things? Three things that last forever. Faith, hope, and love. Those are powerful things. Imagine each of those things in your life and playing out in how you live your life. Faith, hope, and love. What's the greatest one? The greatest one is love. As you go into this week, may you learn that gift that can take whatever your family looks like, whether it's your church family here, whether it's a family of foster care or adopted, maybe it's a blended family of two new families coming together, maybe it's a family of just one person, and you have to look at the relationships around you. Whatever your family looks like, how can love transform? God, I thank you for the gift that you share with each and every one of us, and that's the gift of love. When we walked away from you, Lord God, you shared that awesome gift. And it's not a fluffy love, Lord God, that some of us guys don't like to deal with, but instead it's a powerful love, one that can transform lives when we realize it and allow it to play through our lives. So God, I pray for each of these families in this room, for those that are in the midst of brokenness and hurting relationships, Lord God, may you move into each one of them by the power of your Holy Spirit, and may you begin to transform them as they begin to let love more and more shine into those relationships. And when that happens, Lord God, may you receive the glory. May we just simply say hallelujah, God, and thank you for what you have done in our lives. We pray these things in your name, and all God's people said, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.